two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, we're talking about that allowance you give your kids. Should you? If you do, how do you give it to them? Joining me today is John Lanza, and you are a chief mammal. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Heather. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, first let's start off. Please tell us why you are chief mammal.
Well, it comes, I have to give kudos to Maxine Clark, who is the CEO of Build-A-Bear. We worked with them quite a long time ago in another job that I was in, and I remember getting her card, and on her card it said Chief Executive Bear. At the time, I thought that was super corny, but when I had my own company, I realized, you know, CEO just sounds so stuffy for a company that's trying to teach kids and about money and that's trying to connect with parents. And I just said, Chief Mammal sounds so much better. And it always elicits some kind of reaction from people. So I tip my hat to Maxine Clark for that idea.
Nice. I love it. That is great. But you are here today. We're going to talk about allowance for children. Like, what age do you recommend? Well, I guess, first of all, I should start off. Do you recommend giving kids an allowance?
Very much so. So I believe the allowance is a very key component of teaching kids money smarts. And the allowance itself, you can start with kids as young as 5 years old, in some cases four, but five is a good age. But that doesn't mean that the money conversation shouldn't start even earlier than that, because kids will get an awareness, certainly on the consumption and buying side, much earlier than five.
I guess my biggest concern is, if I give my child an allowance just to give them money, is that something you recommend? Go, oh, they're five, they're a kid, I'll just give them money, they can do what they want with, aside from talking about how you should spend it or save it or give to charity. Should they be earning that money, or should they be linking in their minds the idea that you get money because you do something, not just because you are?
Well, you've opened up the big can of worms here, so let me say one. I think this is where parents get tripped up, is they do think that the word allowance kind of indicates that you're just giving something away. And certainly you do not want to just give kids money without some kind of why behind it. So the purpose of the allowance, and you want to be explicit about this with your kids, is to teach them to become money smart, to learn basic things like setting and saving for goals, making smart money choices, distinguishing between needs and wants. And you can talk to your kid about those things, even if they're not going to fully comprehend them, say at four or five, you're introducing them to the language of money. And so the purpose of the allowance is for them to start to get these kind of money smart behaviors. And one of the things that parents like to do, I think, is, you know, they feel more comfortable tying it to chores, right?
Right.
That's one of the things that we, yeah. Chores are wonderful, but they're teaching a different lesson. And that lesson is that you have to work in order to make money. But once you understand that the allowance itself has a purpose, and that purpose is to learn how to use money and to eventually, you want to basically, you're trying to move them to this point of money empowerment. And that's where kids have, they grow up and they are in control of money as a tool, and money is not in control of them. So allowance itself serves a purpose. Chores are wonderful. They serve a different purpose.
Yeah.
And you can give your kids chores around the house, not basic things like making their bed and stuff that they just have to do as a part of the family,
But, you know, over and above chores, whether it's mowing the lawn, whether it might be cleaning a car, different things for different families, but you can pay them for that. So then they learn that lesson that you work in order to earn money. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. But I guess in my mind, they should not be rewarded or not rewarded for their bed making skills, so to speak, meaning I'm not going to tie the $5 I give to my kid for the basic stuff that they should be doing around the house no matter what. Because once they get out of the house, they're not going to get paid when they set up their own household for washing the dishes or for making their bed. That's not a money type of a chore. But like you said, my big chore that I had to do growing up was polish the parquet floor. That was going above and beyond, but my parents would pay me for that.
Sure.
I see so many parents these days tying their chores to bribery almost. It's like, please just do the dishes. I'll give you your $5 early, your weekly allowance early, or I'll throw an extra dollar on it. Just do the dishes, please. And how do we have that conversation? Make sure the kids understand what's the basic household duties. That's just a duty you do, no matter if you get paid or not, versus this is a job or a chore that you could get paid for.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing is you just don't pay them for those things. And the other reason you don't want to do that is you're kind of presenting them with a false choice, because once they, say, become 14 or 15, they might either get some kind of job, they might also be doing babysitting, whatever it might be. They may be getting enough money that they could say, I don't need to do that because I don't need the money. And you're not going to let them not do it. So you're kind of presenting them with a false choice. The other benefit, this is not the reason to do it, but the other benefit of decoupling chores and allowance is, you know, you're always going to have conflict with kids doing chores, you know, aside from, you know, your amazing, wonderful kid that, you know, just does them with no problem, which I'm not sure that exists. You're going to be in constant conflict, and then you're going to be threatening them with money. And we're trying to, I think one of the things we want to do is try to reduce the taboos that are associated with money. We want to reduce the friction, the negativity that's sometimes associated with money. And by decoupling chores from allowance, you kind of do that. And they just have to learn to do those chores. Is it a challenge to get them to do those chores? Yes. Are there times that you wish you could just say, listen, I'll give you a dollar and just get it done? Yes. But once you have set up an allowance and you've set up your why behind it, that it's there to teach them money, and then you identify that chores, the basic chores around the house, just have to get done, then you just have to kind of deal with it. It's not necessarily easy, but paying them for those basic chores is not gonna kind of help them or help you in the long run.
Okay, we need to take a break, so we'll be right back with John Lanza.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that if it affects your life in any way whatsoever, we're talking about it. And today we are talking about allowance for your children and how do you explain it to them so they don't think that they are getting money just because they are the wonderful children that they are. So joining me today is John Lanza. In that last segment, we went over you need to decouple chores with allowances with your children. But let me tell you, my parents never ever had that conversation with me about take some of your money, save some of it. You can use a little bit for spending and let's make sure we give some away to charity. I never had that conversation with my parents. But they did say, these are the chores you're going to have to do around the house. And then at a later point in the week, I always got $5. And for me as a child, I completely tied the money to the chores I was doing. So if we need to decouple that, how do you actually describe that to a child?
Well, number one, you never
you never couple them in the first place. So I think it would probably help if I explain how we do an allowance for, say, a five-year-old, because then you'll see how the purpose of an allowance works. So what we do is we set up three jars for the allowance. So there's the share jar for charitable giving, there's the save jar for longer-term items, kind of goals, and then there's the spend smart jar. When you give your kid $5, you take, and this breakdown is just a easy breakdown, which is you give them five physical dollars.
Okay.
And $1 goes into share, and that's kind of opting them into this idea that you value giving money to charity on some level. And that's every week that's going to go into that share jar. Okay.
Okay.
Then $1 goes into the save jar. So this is, again, the value that you want to pay yourself first. You want to teach them that when they get money, they should put some money in to save. And then the other three typically will go into spend smart, right? So now that's how the breakdown works. But what they're what you're starting to teach them is that every time they receive money, you want them to be as mindful as they can be about where they're putting that money. Because whether they are being intentional about that decision or not, they're making a choice to either share, save, or spend that money. And that's the reason you have those three jars. And then as soon as possible, what you want to do is they're going to go to the store, and they can use their spend money. But they're going to get to a point very quickly where they're going to be like, I want that. And the money they have for their spend money is not enough. And that's when you use a save jar. And you say, okay, you want to save for that scooter that's $24. Great. When we get home, we're going to put a picture of that scooter on your jar. We're going to identify, I'm going to help you figure out how long it's going to take for you to save that. And then you're going to get your allowances. And in 4 to 8 weeks, then we'll come back. You'll have your money. And you will have achieved this goal. And so you teach them this idea of goal setting with them. But do you see, now allowance has a purpose. They're learning about how to make these money smart choices.
Okay, I love that. I love the jars. I love the cash. I'm a cash only person, so I do try to talk about that in great length. However, society, unfortunately, and it, I believe, is moving far too much into the electronic age. So how can we teach kids because basically now, if I'm doing everything electronically, I pay with my phone, I just swipe it, I don't even do credit cards anymore, you're forcing me to go to the bank. Oh, my God. And then I have to touch dirty dollar bills. They have germs, don't you know? And you want me to, like, give those germy dollars to my kids so they can put them in the jars. How do we teach kids if you're not a cash person?
Well, this is a great point, Heather. I'm glad you brought it up. So, one, you can get cash, you know, like the grocery store. That's, you know, you usually can pull cash out of that. So it makes it easier than having to go to a bank. But the reason you want to use cash in the beginning is because digital money is way too abstract for kids. So what you do is from age 5 to, say, age 10, you have cold, hard cash. Plus, it's harder for people, you know, we've seen this, they've done studies on this, it's harder for people to part with actual cash. But they need to see actual cash transacted. But once they get to be tweens and teens, and this is a kind of larger conversation, they're going to get a larger allowance, and that can become a digital allowance. But now they understand the analog. Like, they understand that this digital money is now just like cash money, but it's in a digital form. But they've now been trained throughout that process. And in the case that you've started late and you didn't start at 5 years old, if you're going to start with your teenager, start for a few weeks or months with a cash allowance and then transition to a digital allowance, because you want them to get used to the idea of transacting cash, and then they can move into that, to the digital analog of that. Does that make sense?
It totally does. And I really want to reinforce that idea that it hurts so much more when you hand over physical cash. Because when it, like you said, it's just, it's a concept. Everything that's in our phone and the digital and even the credit cards, even if you touch the credit card and you pull it in and out of your wallet, the fact is it goes back in your wallet. And then it's just some bill that may show up later down the road. And people are not understanding that. And that's why we're seeing debt increase. Like right after the recession, the Great Recession, debt was coming down quite significantly until about 2013. And the economy started turning around again. And then you had all these new apps popping up and being able to pay with your phone. That's recent in the last 4 or 5 years. And now debt is increasing again because I don't think, especially the new generation coming up, if they're not touching money physically, they don't get it.
Well, student debt especially, and I know I listened to your conversation you had recently about the student debt, and this is a tremendous argument for starting this allowance with your kids early because, you know, there's no way that a kid is going to be able to wrap their head around the numbers that are tied into education without some prior experience with money, some practice with money. And that's what we're trying to do is we want to start them practicing with money in a low-stakes environment so that then when you have – because our kids are now 16 and 14. So we have real conversations with them about the cost of college. And we've made it very clear to them that they are not going to go into any kind of substantial debt. And you know what? Even though they have had all this training with money, it's still difficult because – not all their friends have had that conversation, and they get caught up in, not to turn this conversation too much into a college conversation, but they get caught up in the name brands. And the danger with that is that what they need to be thinking about is the practical side of it. So finding a fit that works for them, that not only is attractive college, has what they want to study, but also is going to be affordable with the money that we've saved in our 529, and money that we're willing to help them out with when they go to college, because kids just don't understand how much that debt will burden them when they get older.
Yeah, I agree. We do need to take one more break. Do want to touch on one last thing? What are the mistakes that we can make with our kids talking about or not talking about money as they grow? And we'll be right back with John Lanza. Welcome back to Money Making Sense, the show that talks about all things money. Today, I have John Lanza joining me, and he has his own podcast. And tell us the name of your podcast and what you talk about.
Sure. It's called The Art of Allowance, and it's the same name as the book that I wrote for parents. And the whole purpose is to help parents raise money smart, money empowered kids.
I love it. And that is actually our subject today is the allowance you give your kids. And I wanted to ask, in the first couple of segments, you talked about how we should approach our children with their allowance and make sure that they understand that they're making a choice. And my favorite thing that you just said was, this is the time for children to practice with their money and practice good money-making decisions. But what are the mistakes that people make?
The biggest mistake is not having a conversation. And that's the advantage that an allowance gives you, is that by starting an allowance, I know why some people get worried about it because they feel like they don't have their own money kind of self together. You know, they feel uncomfortable about their own relationship with money. But the beauty of it is if you start early, you're talking about the basics. And it's a way to kind of reset yourself if you're feeling that way. But most importantly, you want to make sure you are starting this conversation with your kids, because otherwise someone else or something else is going to be having that conversation. You know, whether it's they're just going to get those messages from the media, from their friends, and you don't know what those messages could be. They could be good. They could be bad. But you want to use this allowance to open up a dialogue with your kids. And it's totally okay in an age-appropriate way to let them know the mistakes that you made and that it's okay for them to make mistakes when, like you said, when they start practicing with money. That's part of the whole process.
And it's very important that you actually do talk, because looking back on it, my parents did give me an allowance every week. But I swear there was not one single conversation. It was just, I just got the allowance. I did my chores every week, which I mostly did. I got the $5. Every once in a while, I might get four. And they didn't say it's because you didn't make your bed. But I knew it's like, oh, I didn't make my bed. Like, you know, they didn't, you know. So we never, ever had this conversation. And I think my parents were wanting me to learn money, but they never talked to me about it. They just gave me the allowance and expected I was going to know what to do with it because they knew what to do with it. Adult brains are completely different from kids. And when you leave a kid alone to figure out something out on their own, it's may and probably most likely isn't going to be what you intend.
Yeah, and kids under 8 can't really understand abstractions. And in fact, kids under 8 don't, for example, if they're watching an ad, they can't distinguish fact from fiction. And so that's why you want to start these conversations, because the conversations go beyond money. You know, they go beyond, they can go to, well, look at that ad. Well, you can talk to your kid about, well, what's the purpose of that ad? Well, the purpose of that ad is to get you to buy this thing. Do you think those things that they're saying are true? They may be, but they may also just be inflated. And getting kids to think critically about the messages that they're hearing is really important, because the amount of messages that they're hearing are huge. And that's an important part of the whole process. And it all stems, so much comes out of starting starting an allowance with your kids, because you end up having conversations that you wouldn't be able to have these teaching moments appear without having an allowance. Because, for example, you go to the store, now they want something, and now you're having a conversation about the fact that they don't have enough money for it. They may want it. You can save for a goal, or you could say, you know what, why don't you wait a week and see if you still want it? Like, there's so many places that this conversation can go, and I'm just scratching the surface.
Right.
Every parent that goes through this process has their own stories about how this has led to this conversation and that conversation, all in the service of raising their kids to be money smart.
Is that how, what you were just saying about asking the child to, let's wait a week and see if you still want it, is that one of the ways you teach them the difference between a need and a want?
Yeah, to some extent. I would say, because in a lot of these cases, they're almost always wants for the stuff that they're purchasing, right? So it's really a way of having them understand or avoid impulse purchases. And so, for example, as they get older and they accumulate more money in their spend smart jar, one of the things they might have is enough money to get something on a whim that's, say, $50. But you could put in a rule like we have. So anything over $50, if it's from their spend smart jar and they haven't been saving for a goal, they have to wait at least a week. And anything over $100, they have to wait at least 2 weeks. And we try to adhere to the same thing as parents, and especially that's been very helpful. I think about those things the same in the same frame as my kids do now. So those kind of lessons all come out of the conversations you're having once you've started having a conversation about the importance of money smart.
I still worry about the want versus need in this digital age, not because of the money could be on the phone, an app, but if every single one of my friends, so I'm 8 years old, and every single one of my friends has a certain toy or a certain app or, you know, whatever it is, every single one of my friends has it. This is not an exaggeration. I'm the only one who doesn't, because I have these really strict parents who won't allow me to have something digital. In my mind, that's a need. If every single person out there has it, that must mean I need it. It's no longer a want. So how do we have that conversation?
Yeah, that's a good question. And actually, you brought up an interesting one, because one of the mistakes that we think we made as parents is we should not have given our kids media access to social media until they were in high school. So that's one thing I would suggest to parents, is really look at the data that's out there that's now coming, that now that we have some, now that there's data that's being accumulated, it's you're really better off not having your kids access social media until they're in ninth grade. But it's a very good question, and you do get badgered by your kids to get them a phone, or you get to get them social media. But I think it's just part of the conversation. But we always will say, you know, that is just not, it's just not something you need. But that doesn't mean that they can't want it. So I will say that they understand the difference between needs and wants, because I remember one time I dropped my phone and broke it. I'm like, oh, I need to get a new iPhone. And my daughter looked at me. She's like, yeah, you don't need a new iPhone. I said, point taken. So
I think, I really do think, Heather, that this comes down to just the opening of the continuing conversation. So talking about needs and wants in your, within, you know, in the family will, it makes it not, I wouldn't say it's easy, because I understand the pressure that's on parents when kids are asking for either a phone or social media, you know, the things that every other kid seems to have. But I will tell you, one of the things we always say to our kids is, like, we don't care what the other parents are doing. Yeah. So now, that obviously there is a huge amount of pressure, but I think that's a really important thing to talk to your kids about. Say, listen, we'll make our decisions. We'll inform our decisions by, we might talk to some of your parents about it, but it's ultimately, that's not the reason that we're going to do it.
John Lanza, thank you. I do want to just wrap up what I learned from you and our conversation is, one, we need to be explicit with our kids about money. Start as young as you can and be explicit with them about if I give them an allowance, part of it should go to savings, part needs to go for spending, and another part to share, to for gifting, for charity. And then, two, start practicing with real cash with your kids. Give them an actual dollar bill or coins. And then, three, continue the conversation at all ages.
That is a terrific wrap-up, Heather. I the only other thing I would say is, let them, they're going to make mistakes, but they're going to make mistakes in a much lower stakes environment than they would if you don't teach them before they head out of the house.
Okay, and then when we want to learn more from you or go more in depth, we can pick up your book, The Art of Allowance, or your podcast, The Art of Allowance. And where can we find that?
You can go to theartofallowance.com.
Thank you so much, John Lanza. We are going to take everything we've learned from you and teach our kids the right way from now on. Thanks for listening. You can email me with any questions or topics you want to hear about at hkelly@ksl.com. That's hkelly@ksl.com. And because this is Money Making Sense, you can subscribe for free on Spotify, Overcast, Apple Podcasts, anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast, and you'll never miss another episode.
Thanks for being a Money Making Sense listener. Follow your common sense on the social media, Money Making Sense, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.